Show. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! A minute past the hour, and yes, Moran Monday is upon us on the Horn. This is the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. That is where you go to gain access to the chat room, which is temporarily sort of no frills right now. We'll get that sorted out in short order. It's also where you go for the Listen Live button. There is also a series that you can grab podcasts from HeadOnRadioNetwork.com as well. And, of course, yes, there is the tab there, Contribute. And at the Contribute tab, you can help us keep this entire effort ongoing. That is much appreciated. We are $40 away. $40 away this evening from finishing off Laborman's Moran Monday Kick a Right-Wing Nut Job in the Nuts Monday Challenge. $40 away, and we are $40 away in part because of Alexandra and Sal and Ron. So thank you, all three of you, for getting us to where we are. Four at 10, 10 at it was right. 10 at 4, 2 at 20, 1 at 40, 8 at 5, 5 at 8. Ain't math cool? Yeah. But that's what we'll, that will take us to tomorrow when we have another, yes, another, have a show on me challenge. Yes, indeed. And hopefully that will be nicely responded to. It is Moran Monday, and many of you are, of course, wondering about, you know, after my little on-air conniption on Friday. And, yeah, I apologize, but still, I don't think that that's the right way to do a human being, the way we were done. I was done. We, you know, me and that mouse in my pocket, or, you know, Agnes and me. You know, she's got rights vested in this entire process. But, so I had an evening appointment. It was at 4:30 to go over the MRI, which was Abby. Abby who? Abby someone. Abby who? Abby normal? Yes. And, well, thank you. Thank you, Jan. Jan and Jerry said we worried all weekend. So did I. Not one of my better weekends. So, I don't fully understand what it means. I ran the MRI report through my Idiocracy translator, and it said, your shit's effed up, you talk like a, and you're basically tarted. That's what it said. And, but that's okay, because, you know, never mind. We've all seen the movie. That's what it boiled down to. Hey, Bob. Your neck's effed up. And it's effed up in a couple of different places. And it's effed up. Nothing's broken, but there are osteofarts or something like that. They're just banging around out there, loose and running free. Yeah. So so that's the, and so I still get a referral to the neurosurgeon, who hopefully will look at it and say, yep, it's amped up, and but we will, for the time being, do everything possible. Well, by we, I mean I, and to stay away from people with knives. Jeremy in Vermont, noting loud and clear on TuneIn. Thank you kindly, Jeremy. So we'll go forward and just hope that things work out sanely. And I'll try not to scream, oh, my neck, or anything too terribly often. It does kind of suck, though. I mean, the whole reason I went for the MRI is because it just hurts all the time. And, you know, lots of headaches and fun stuff like that. Of course, being a hillbilly, we're not allowed pain medication. Not that I particularly want it. But, you know, hillbillies can't have that. But speaking of pain medication, before we jump into the before we jump into the meat of Moran Monday, a non-Moran alert. If you get a chance, and I tweeted about this last night, if you get a chance to see Parts Unknown, the Massachusetts episode, I don't know how much longer Anthony Bourdain is going to last at CNN. Because he's actually, under the guise of a program about cooking and food, Anthony Bourdain is actually sneaking some actual journalism onto CNN, where God knows it has not been seen in a very, very long time. The Massachusetts episode, a significant chunk of it, dealt with America's opiate problem. And bless his heart, Anthony Bourdain was actually allowed to say on CNN that America's drug problem might actually get solved now because heroin is in white communities. And it's as likely to be your granny who's the junkie as it is some kid on a street corner somewhere. And he did a magnificent job of just charting the explosion of our pill problem via the vehicle of a little suburban Massachusetts town. It is well worth the watch. So, too, is the Iran episode. They aired back-to-back last night. And I cannot recommend them highly enough. Tim from L.A. asking in the chat room, Bob, being a lefty talk show host, do you think that your illness and the stress of your show is causing this? Well, it's not an illness. My neck's just effed up. No, because it's on the right side of my neck. Apparently. So does that mean I'm leaning too hard to the left? Do I need to be a little bit more right wingy in the way we pull the program together? I did the, what? No, I don't know. So all that having been said, a little weather warning for pretty much the entire country that isn't the Pacific Coast. Note came in from Kate just before airtime. She said, good to see your name logged into the chat. That must mean they didn't have to amputate. No. Kate said, really cold stuff coming at you. Minus 20 wind chill here today. Only a skiff of snow, not the 6 inches promised. Break a leg. Thank you. Beats the hell out of breaking a neck. And I want to especially thank, by the way, everybody who sent their kind thoughts along, Dr. Allen, our buddy in Texas with Waco Friends of Peace, even sent a few calming words along, and I wanted to thank him particularly for those. It, wound up being just exactly as he described. And thank you. Thank you kindly. No, there is cold stuff coming at us. There was a sort of gather ye rosebuds quality to today, at least here in the hills and hollers of Appalachistan, West Virginia stan. Yeah, we get the stand now, because we got up to 70 degrees with just bluebird skies today. The last of the trees are down. What leaves remain on the trees? Not the last of the trees. The trees are still there. Don't tell the coal companies, for sake. But the last of the leaves have now gone over to outright brown. The few that haven't been blown away yet. We've got one good wind coming. Usually happens late November, first week of December. The wind will blow steadily for an entire day, and there won't be a leaf left. But it was downright toasty today. Just nice. And I guess it stays that way maybe tomorrow, and then come Wednesday it gets ugly. The cold is coming. And I have to say the cold is coming, otherwise I'll sound like that Game of Thrones program. Now, like I said, I know what day it is.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Straighten out that chair.
Imagine this. My chair is straight and all the other chairs are out of order. Now, here's a real mind bender for you, right?
What are you people? On...
Yes, indeed. That's right. That's right. Hurry, hurry, hurry. It's Moran Monday on the horn. You will not believe. Your ears will be amazed. They will defy your cerebral cortex's ability to tolerate the moranity you are about to hear. Yes, behind this thin cybernetic veil of cybernetic canvas, you will find morans of all manner. Right-wing morans, birther morans, deather morans, tenther morans, booger-eating morans, the Boogerati from the Boogerverse and the Booger Sphere. Yes, indeed, libertarian morans, right, bircher morans, repiglican morans, one and all. Indeed, indeed, indeed. Yes, for less than 5 cents per hour of programming, you too can experience the moranity that is the right wing in the new United States of America. You can't tell the morans without a program, and this is the program that tells the morans. You just can't tell them much. Head for the hills, or you'll be up to your armpits in morans.
Oh, God. It's no joke. Oh, the Boogerati. And, yes, we have a new word, the Boogerati, courtesy of Shirley in Wisconsin. The Boogerati have been busy. They are, in fact, all over the place. Where to start? How's about we start at Lincoln University? Lincoln University's president is a fellow by the name of Robert R. Jennings. And Lincoln University President Robert R. Jennings has fallen into that, and I don't understand why the trap works so well, but it does. He's fallen into the talking about women and rape trap. Oh, for pity's sakes. Yes, he has. Lincoln University President Robert R. Jennings, who is supposed to... Who is supposed to see to the well-being of his university, which is in existence for the purpose of educating young men and women, noting, of course, that women make up a higher percentage of the college student body now than men do. Oh, well, doesn't apparently matter much to Robert R. Jennings of Lincoln University. The Philadelphia Inquirer had the story. The speech goes back to Lincoln University's, no, really, all women's convocation. And I'm going to have to turn down the Calliope. By the way, we have a new word. You might remember that going back to Hurricane Katrina, the word Calliope entered the Horn lexicon as Anderson Cooper complained about the playing of the Calliope in the background to his voiceover stand-up. It was a stand-up. It wasn't just a VO. I mean, he was there, and the Calliope was there in the background doing Calliope things, and he said, pardon the Calliope music. As of this morning, we have a new word. Halkin. Halkin. Honest to God, I don't know the guy's name. I just happened to be watching MSNBC, and it was whoever it is that fills in the slot that used to be filled by Chuck Todd between 9 and 10 a.m., and he was doing a weather story. And he's a respectable-looking fella. Had a nice chalk-striped dark suit, chalk pinstripes there, and you know, kind of 30s gangster-looking. I mean, it was a hip and happening suit. And he was done up all nice and everything, but in the middle of it all, we found out something. It's like the old joke whose punchline is, we found out you didn't do your homework, we found out you have a very dirty mind, and we found out when you grow up you're going to be horribly disappointed. We found out a little bit about this anchor fellow. We found out he does not write, nor does he read. He does not write his own copy, nor does he read the copy written for him. Remember, this is Moran Mundy. This is just low grade. This is just an appetizer. We're going to get back to Lincoln University President Robert R. Jennings in just a minute. Probably ought to still have the Calliope music going. Somebody who writes for MSNBC, bless their hearts, is literate. And they use fun words. Words that probably seldom even appear in the pages of the New York Times, because newspapers are now written on the literacy level of a sixth grader. Not kidding. And our anchor in question, who did not write his copy, nor did he read it, or proof it, or pre-read it before it got loaded into the teleprompter, said, remember the Halcon days of late autumn when warm temperatures made it feel like summer was still with us? And I apologize. I know. I'll get emails and tweets and Facebook postings and stuff on Skype and all the other myriad ways in which we communicate with one another here in this little Horn family commune congregation, telling me what an elitist prick I am. But no, I heard Halcon days. And this is a function of being an auditory learner, or someone who is tuned more to the aural, A-U-R-A-L, than to the visual. But I heard those Halcon days of late autumn that seemed like summer was back. And at one and the same time, I said, probably whipping my neck around faster than I should have, it feels like it's on gravel right now. But anyway. And Agnes looked at me and said, oh, no, he didn't. And I looked at Agnes and said, didn't what? She said, Halcon? I said, Halcon? And it took me a minute. Halcyon. H-A-L-C-Y-O-N. Halcyon. A Halcyon defined, and anything close to Halcyon, I would have said, yeah, you know what, maybe that's just a regional thing. Halcyon, defined.
Working.
Because I want to have a dictionary definition in front of me and not just kind of make it up as I go along. Oh, Jesus. This poor, tired production computer. We'll have it in a sec. Oh, what's the matter, Bob? Can't you just rattle off the definition? I mean, you know how it's supposed to be pronounced. Yeah, I can. But nonetheless, over at dictionary.com, calm, peaceful, tranquil, rich, wealthy, prosperous, happy, joyful, carefree. It is also the name of the bird, which is also known as the kingfisher. Halcyon. Halcyon. Dictionary duck, that seems to be. And I'm wasting a hell of a lot of time on this, but still. It went through me like a dose of salts. Halcyon? And oddly enough, I know exactly when I learned that word. Further proof of what rock and roll can do to teach. I first heard that word in an Al Stewart song. And I think it was in the, oh my God, 17 or 27 minute ballad, Love Chronicles. The halcyon days of my late adolescence, I think was the exact phrase. So thank you, Al. More people should listen to your music. Halcyon. But anyway. Back to, back to Lincoln University President Robert R. Jennings. Speaking in September, and apparently it's just now begun getting noticed. Well, let's, assuming that it works, let's let Mr. Jennings do it for himself.
Let me let you in on a little secret. Men treat women the way women allow us to treat them.
Oh, Jesus, wait a minute. I didn't issue the warning. Carol, this is a two hockey pucker. Extra trip around the head with the duct tape, okay? Just saying. Let's go back and get this in its entirety. Whoop!
You treat women the way women allow us to treat them. And let me let you on another little secret. We will use you up if you allow us to use you up. But guess what? When it comes time for us to make that final decision, we're going to go down the hall and marry that girl with the long dress on. That's the one we're going to take home to mama. Because there's something about the way you carry yourself and respect yourself that commands and demands respect from us.
Tepid applause, I think that's how that's defined.
The other thing I want to tell you about the brothers is that we'll lead you to believe that you're the best thing since sliced bread. But we sliced in your bread and somebody else's bread too. If you allow us to do that. We'll give you our wrath. It'll be the best thing you've ever heard. And come the next day, we'll act like we don't even know you. Am I right about it? You know I'm right about it. And let me tell you why I know I'm right about it. I'm right about it because we have on this campus last semester, had on this campus last semester, three cases of young women who, after having done whatever they did with the young men, and then it didn't turn out the way they wanted it to turn out, guess what they did? They then went to public safety and said, he raped me. So then we have to do an investigation. We have to start pulling back the layers and asking all kinds of questions. And when we start trying to collect the data and ask the questions, and why do we do that? Because we know that possibly somebody's life is getting ready to change for the rest of their life. Because there's no more serious accusation. And within the last 30 days, the United States federal government has now issued a new set of regulations that deal with sexual misconduct on college and university campuses. And the penalty is jail time. What happens when you allege that somebody did something of that nature to you is they go to jail. All of the little degree, I don't care how close they are to finishing the degree, their whole life changes overnight. Because they're going to get a record.
Now, whoever is near the person doing the recording, and you probably didn't hear it. I just barely could in my cans. I can't believe he's saying this. It's pretty. Let me just check over at the chat room for a minute. Screaming yet? This guy reminds me of Candy Crowley and the other reporter in Steubenville, Ohio, who were moaning and groaning and worrying and fretting and wondering whatever was going to happen to those poor little rapist football players who raped that young woman in Steubenville and had their careers ruined for it. Why is this so hard? Probably the wrong word. Why is this so difficult for so many men to get their heads around? Minds. See what happens? If you do not wish to be accused of rape, don't rape. Crazy, right? I know, there I go again, being all elite. Maybe my rap was just never got to. Oh, Jesus, come on. No. It is not impossible not to rape. It is not impossible to make sure that you are in a consent situation. That consent has been freely given on both parts. Now, granted, we could go back to the Bronze Age and just throw consent out the window and manifest consent by the female's father's willingness to sell her for 12 sheep, a dozen goats, and two she-asses. Don't ask. And a couple of chickens. We could do that because, see, in that era, the father of the young female was the one who manifested her consent. Because in point of fact, the young female was deemed incapable of consent
because she was property. Not a fully vested human being, but property. I mean, yeah, you can go check it out in the Old Testament. There are verses there about what happens when you rape some other guy's slave woman and the restitution you have to pay to the slave owner. It's there. And that's not, and I'm not limiting it to the Bronze Age barbarians of the Old Testament. I also include other Bronze Age barbarians. And well up in, Jesus, there are still arranged marriages in this on this planet, if not in this country. There are still honor killings. There's still female circumcision, so-called, which is just a barbaric form of ritualized genital mutilation. And we've got, and he ain't done yet, hold on.
And that record is then going to follow them the rest of their life. They're going to be expelled from the university. It's going to be very difficult for them to ever get into anybody else's university because they have to explain at the receiving institution why they were expelled from the institution that they were expelled from. And we have to send the transcript and we have to note on there the reason for your being expelled. And so when they see that, then they don't want to take a chance on letting you into their university because they don't know what they're getting ready to get themselves in for. Why am I saying all of this, ladies? I'm saying this because, first and foremost, don't put yourself in a situation
Don't get raped! Don't dress like you're asking for it. Because remember, we've already heard from this early lead Moran that men want to marry the woman with the long dress on because, you know, we men are so stupid that we can't figure out skirt lengths. Jesus! Oh, she's wearing a long skirt. That's just going to make raping entirely too difficult. I'll save her and marry her later. What happens if she puts a short skirt on later? Oh, well, that's a different thing, right?
That would cause you to be trying to explain something that really needs no explanation had you not put yourself in that situation.
Okay. Every story has a bit of denouement. And here's the denouement to this situation. Dude still has a job. By the way, however, he has received 2 no-confidence votes from faculty alumni recently because they consider him to have a leadership style that they deem to be dictatorial. According to the Philadelphia Inquirer, Jennings followed up by proving that he knows nothing about the first law of holes, to wit, when you are in one, stop digging. No one would ever discourage a young woman on this campus from reporting a sexual assault. In fact, I emphasize to them how serious that allegation is, and that the university takes it very seriously, and so does the federal government, and so does the court. Well, that's certainly going to encourage the young woman to report it now, isn't it? Wonder if she also gets the "you're about to ruin some young man's life" speech. I'm guessing yes. Then there's the Reverend James Thomas. He said there had to have been at least one young lady in that room who had been the victim of sexual assault who had not reported it, and there was nothing that was said by the president that would have given any comfort. The Reverend James Thomas said that. He's got a son at that university. Whew. We don't call it Moran Monday for fun, but this guy's a dangerous Moran. that four-minute speech or that four-minute excerpt from that speech is an explanation to young men that he's got their backs if they want to, you know, if they want to do some rape. This is one of those moments when it's tough to be a 51-year-old. And, yes, I realize the reference that I'm about to make is freighted with a lot of baggage. But To Kill a Mockingbird came out in, what, 1960? And it's all about a false accusation of rape. That is so obviously false that everybody can see that it's false. Everybody can also see that it was not ginned up by the alleged rape victim. That it was ginned up by her no account, no good, layabout, drunked up, lives out by the dump daddy, Yules. The Yules ye have always with ye. There are larger lessons inside that book. But that is one of the lessons that I just kind of wish would go away. But you really can't have the book without the setup for it. And the setup is that a person is falsely accused of rape. A man of color. Tom Robinson. And of course, in the Old South, No rape need have occurred. The eyeball rule was enough to get a young black man killed if he was eyeballing, visually raping with his eyes a white woman. Emmett Till is a perfect example of that. But that's it. Wow. And it's a problem. It is a trap. I mean, it apparently works every time. Conservative men will apparently fall for this at every opportunity. And yes, I know, you get tired. We should grandfather him out, but how can you? America's truth detector, with half his brain tied behind his back and talent on loan from God. Margin call! Flush Flimball. Flush Flimball is threatening to sue the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. Why? Because Flush Flimball, of his own free will, with no gun to his head, no coercion whatsoever, made a series of remarks, and we commented on them here, about rape. Campus rape. You know, the same kind of rape that the good president there was talking about, where ladies can always avoid being in that situation. They'll just wear long dresses. Flush Flimball has written a letter, and of course published it, via personal delivery, to the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. Dear sir, madam, this firm, Glaser Weil, Glaser Weil, G-L-A-S-E-R, this firm represents Rush Limbaugh with respect to the matters
addressed herein. Please direct your response to this letter and all future communications regarding this matter to the undersigned.
Who's the undersigned? Well, damn it. I don't have it all.
The Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, comprised of elected public officials who should know better, has intentionally disseminated demonstrably false statements concerning Rush Limbaugh in a concerted effort to harm Mr. Limbaugh, and with reckless disregard for the resulting impact to small businesses across America that choose to advertise on his radio program.
Really? You're going to prove that in front of a jury there, noble pleader? Lawyer Daggett, Lawyer Daggett. So they admit, the lawyers admit, no, this isn't Sandra Fluck. The lawyers admit that Limbaugh said what Limbaugh said about Ohio State's new policy in which students are told to obtain verbal consent before having sex. Okay? This apparently is too difficult for Limbaugh and other Repiglicans. It's no fun if she says yes. Yes is not sexy. Yeah, I remember this. Because, and guess what? We're going to probably do it again. Now, this is, after all, a guy who keeps his wife in a pit.
I can make your life a living hell.
Here we go. Let's review. This is what he's going to sue over. This is what Rush Limbaugh admits he said.
Stop with agreeing on the, why takes all the romance out of everything. Takes all the seduction. Seduction used to be an art. Now, of course, it's brutish and it's predatory and it's bad.
See, now, because it's more Ann Monday. How is it that obtaining consent somehow obviates or negates seduction? It doesn't. Oh, well put, Carol. Carol says, I call Rush Limbaugh the human Hindenburg. Full of hot air and one spark away from going down in flames. And hopefully, you know, there would be an element of almost ancient Greek tragedic beauty if he went down in flames because of his own stupid threat. I just wish I knew the name of the lawyer involved. What an idiot. That noble pleader. There's nothing about a consent policy that says that there's no seduction. There's nothing that says it has to be some sort of romanceless, the Vulcan, well, probably not Vulcan ceremonies. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Romulan. Star Trek reference, obligatory, first one this evening. But, roses? Dinner? A movie? Hand-holding? The old stretching to yawn in the movie and the next thing you got your arm around her shoulder? There's nothing there that says that can't happen. A little soft music? any of that. But according to this gas bag, no, that's all done.
Stop with agreeing on the why takes all the romance out of everything. Takes all the seduction. Seduction used to be an art. Now, of course, it's brutish and it's predatory and it's bad. Here's what consent is at Ohio State. After you and your partner decide that you're going to make out or have sex, you agree to do it, then you agree, you have to agree on why. Consent is the act of knowingly, actively, and voluntarily agreeing explicitly to engage in sexual activity. Consent must be freely given and can be withdrawn at any time. You have to be sober, not coerced, imaginative, enthusiastic, creative, wanted, informed, mutual.
Well, enthusiastic, creative, wanted, all those things that have never been Rush Limbaugh in any way, shape, form, or fashion. Jeff Christie, Hill District? Nah, of course not.
Mutual, honest, verbal. The absence of no does not mean yes.
Okay. See, it would be very easy to be kind of graphic and explicit about this. But what's the point? It's fairly simple. Ohio State trying to tell its young students, its young charges for whom it is standing in loco parentis, and not really trying to tell the women so much as tell the men, because the men are the ones who apparently need the telling. But you can't just be a sitting there rutting away on May Eller and assume that she likes it. I remember that segment from Monty Python's The Meaning of Life where John Cleese is instructing his young students on sex in some, you know, a presumably deeply repressive English school. And he says, now, foreplay. How do we initiate foreplay? And one of the students says, rubbing on the clitoris. Don't go leaping to the clitoris. How about a kiss? Now, let's say our young Lothario goes in for the kiss, and she doesn't want to be kissed, then he doesn't keep a trying to be a kissing on her, and a smollicking and a lollygagging. This is not rocket science, Rush. But this is all review material. Hold on.
It must be asked every step of the way. It cannot be implied or assumed even in the context of a relationship.
Can we take a moment and note that none of this is for the benefit of the female? This is for the benefit of the male. And I'm sorry I'm talking in cisgendered terms, but it can happen in other circumstances, but the biggest problem out there is of men raping women. That's the biggest problem in the end. Men raping women. Men rape men. Women rape women. But the biggest, by far, the biggest problem is men raping women. And none of these rules, as he's reading them, are promulgated for the benefit of the woman. These are rules that say, if you have done all of these things, you will not be charged with rape. This is a long laundry list of defense to rape. Really? This is not female friendly. This is rapist friendly. I asked her three times, and three times she said yes. You know, before the cock crowed, haw, haw, haw. Yeah, run along, son. Yeah, you ain't no rapist. Get on back to football practice. Yeah, Jeremy noting, like Rush has ever really seduced any of his, what, 4 to 5 wives and traveled to far-off lands with sex drugs, so God knows the, what to anything but females, most likely. I need that acid shower now. I know. No, Rush Limbaugh seduces women with his money.
Honey, here's how it goes. You're going to marry me and pretend that I'm straight, and in return, when you have served out your term, we'll get a divorce and I'll pay you a tidy sum.
And there's no, I'm sorry, I'm not, there's no gay bashing involved in that statement. It's just, there's a history out there. But see, he does right-wing talk, and he could not do right-wing talk, and Clear Channel would not give him $55 million a year if he was gay. Because the people to whom he is talking are wildly homophobic. Okay, just want to be clear.
Circumstances in which a person cannot legally give consent, no matter what he or she might say.
Again, defenses for the accused rapist.
The person is severely intoxicated or unconscious as a result of alcohol or drugs.
Yeah, Cletus, don't go rutting away if she's passed out. I know, that's how you, but no. Not at the Ohio State University, no.
The person is physically or developmentally disabled. The victim is under the age of 13 or is elderly. So as long as the girl's 13, she can give consent for sex, provided it's creative and enthusiastic.
No!
I don't know. Is the age of consent 13 in Ohio? If it is, then yes. It's 14. No, 16. It's 16 in West Virginia, Stan. Because less than 16 years of age is the age at which third-degree sexual assault attaches. If, and again, go look at the rape laws. Any state, any jurisdiction, they are laws that are promulgated for men. Consent in West Virginia is 16. So, does that mean that a 17-year-old male cannot have sex with a 16-year-old female? No, it does not. It is only third-degree sexual assault in the state of West Virginia if she is less than 16 and he is more than 16 and more than 4 years older than the female who is less than 16. Again, a loophole. Nope, Your Honor. At the time this alleged act occurred, he was 3 years and 364 days older than she was. Case dismissed with prejudice. See, I knew it would bother someone. Steve with a note. Rush is not gay. There is no way Rush is gay. We don't want him. We won't have him. In the same way, Starved Hagee is not a Christian. Don't want him. Won't have him. Well, he's obviously, if he is, he's closeted. And it could be that he's just some sort of sicko who gets off on taking Viagra and going to the Dominican Republic and trolling for little boys. It could be a power thing. It could be a John Wayne Gacy thing. Okay, so Marty pointing out the age of consent in Ohio is also 16. Going back to our Halkin discussion, Ron and Raleigh asking, hey, isn't Halkin one of the houses of the Landsrad?
Now we're working in Dune references. This is precious.
So anyway, just to wrap up with Flush, and then we'll finish the story itself. I hope. Could be the computer doesn't even want to finish with Rush.
Consent must be freely given, can be withdrawn at any time, and the absence of no does not mean yes. How many of you guys, in your own experience with women...
Now, he's asking a few million American mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking... proto-humans. You know, his base. It's that last one that really gets under his skin. The absence of no does not mean yes. In other words, silence is not acceptance. Because you have to explain that. There are men you have to explain this to. You know, sticking a sock in her mouth and then going, does not know, that ain't consent.
Consent must be freely given, can be withdrawn at any time, and the absence of no does not mean yes. How many of you guys, in your own experience with women, have learned that no means yes if you know how to spot it?
We had to get that far into the clip because that, you heard it. I didn't fool with the audio. Those were his own words. So what the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee did, and apparently it wasn't terribly effective, is they sent out fundraising letters and fundraising emails. And the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee latched on to that line. How many of you guys have learned that no means yes if you know how to spot it? What, do you got to lead them a little bit, Rush? I mean, is there a difference between no and... no! And no. Because it's exactly that we're trying to protect against. Well, Your Honor, she said no, but it sure sounded like a yes-y kind of no. And it's like that one congressman said, sometimes women rape real easy. And the DCCC said that basically Rush Limbaugh was condoning sexual assault, to wit, rape, which he is. That entire clip is nothing but one big condemnation of rape. And this represents a new front in the world of flimboggery. The man's on the run. He's hired a PR flack, a guy named Brian Glicklich. Sounds like what I did outside the door of my car one night when I tried to chug-a-lug a bottle of Mad Dog. Glicklich! His spokes creep said, they lied about his words. They quoted something specific and out of context, and it's a lie. No, it's not a lie. You might not like the way they characterized it, Glicklich. But it ain't a lie. He really said the words. And this is from the old PR school of there is no such thing as bad publicity. Because Rush is desperate for it. That's why the letter says that business owners were damaged. Wouldn't you love to be the responding lawyer for the DCCC? Well, no, you wouldn't love to be the lawyer. Because if you're the lawyer for the DCCC, you probably say, we're Democrats, we're sorry, we're afraid, please don't hurt us.
with your mighty sword of Limbaugh justice? Please don't. But if you were a real lawyer and you received that letter in the mail, how tempted would you be to send it back with General McAuliffe's response on it? Nuts! Do your damnedest. No, really, file it. File it, you stupid pettifogger. Please. Because truth is an absolute defense, and we're going to play this in front of the jury until the jury's eyes are swirling at hearing it. And every time they look at Rush Limbaugh, they're going to hear, no means yes, no means yes, no means yes, no means yes. And by the way, we want to, we'll be pleading in via third party practice those small business owners who have been, whom you allege, and you're going to be telling us who they are in discovery, sugar, whom you allege have been harmed by not being able to to advertise on this gas bags radio show because nobody stopped them. The thing is, though, you know, your boy here is a big fan of the allegedly free market, and what has happened is that people hear that no means yes, no means yes, no means yes, and they think, maybe I don't want to advertise on that on Bug Tussle's own news talk flamethrower WPIG. Or maybe some people engaging in the free market have called Homer's Texaco, home of free car wash with fill up on Fridays. Y'all come on down and get your car washed on Friday. I'm Homer, and maybe they've contacted Homer and said, Homer, yes, Homer. Homer, I was listening to K-Pig the other day. Yeah, I listen too. I'm advertising there. Did you hear my advertisements? Come on down. You gonna come get your free car wash with fill up on Friday? Homer, you know I can't afford to fill up the truck. That damn thing's got 2 40-gallon tank on it. I gotta go to the bank to do that. We'll throw you in the car wash if you just fill up one of them, all right? Well, Homer, that ain't why I called. Homer, you got a daughter. Yeah. She's right smart, that, and she's probably going to go off to college. We just found it out. She'll be the first one in her family to do so. Well, I mean, we did send the dog to obedience school, but I don't think that counts. Speaking of counting, the dog can count higher than I can. That's why I vote Republican. You vote Republican? Homer, try to stay focused. Homer, I know you got a daughter, and I know you love her. And I know you want great things for her. Well, Homer, there's a terrible problem with rape on college campuses. I know we have brought her up in the ways of the Lord, but there is a problem. Well, Homer, I just want you to know I ain't going to buy no more gas from you because I heard your ads running on that Rush Limbaugh's program, and that Rush Limbaugh says it's okay to rape little girls like yourn. He said what? Sure he did. He said if a fellow wants to get to rutting away on your daughter at college and she says no, that sometimes no means yes. He didn't. He did. Well, I tell you what, if he said that around here, we'd get the clavering together and go have a talking to, wouldn't we? We would, Homer, we would. Imperial Dragon would be right unhappy about that. Yeah, see, Flush Flimball is circling the drain. And this is a desperate attempt to put the stopper in before he has to holler, What a world, oh my precious evil, what a world.
Yeah, okay. Okay, Lottie, I get it. Yeah, he's circling the bowl, not the drain. I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. Let's see. What was it they said about Limbaugh? They said comments at the DCCC. They said comments of this offensive nature are inexcusable. I agree. Rush Limbaugh is advocating for the tolerance of sexual assault. He should be taken off the air immediately. I agree with that one, too. That's a matter of opinion, though. But you know what? Opinions are legal. Because there's a 20-plus year history of him delivering opinions like women are sluts who want to have access to contraception. Patricia Glazer is the pettifogger in question who signed the complaint, in case you were wondering. She also represented Daniel Snyder, according to the Washington Post story. She represented the Washington racist named football club owner Daniel Snyder against the Washington City paper back in 2011. In defamation. That suit got dropped. This is apparently a matter of public relations, where a check was written to the lawyer for writing the letter, and it probably was a hefty check. Patricia Glazer is not out a hell of a lot of work, and there ain't going to be no litigation, because according to Glitch, doesn't that sound like the name of a Ferengi? Limbaugh wants an apology and a retraction every bit as pervasive and widely distributed as the original emails. No. You litigate it, you effer. Litigate it. We look forward to it. We'll see you in court. Somebody get Lawyer Daggett on the line. You remember the great Arkansas and Mississippi Steamship and Transportation Company? Oh, yes, I remember the GAMRSSTC. Lawyer Daggett put them into receivership. So we have a start. We have a start to the program this evening, without a doubt. We have... You know, in my father's mansion are many morons. And there's a little something-something banging around about the Affordable Care Act. Oh, and well, while we're out there in the realm of human relationships and marriage and so forth, this... And I offer an early caveat. A couple of these stories should have been saved until prayer meeting Wednesday, but I don't know if they'll last, and they're just so suffused with morality as to be some religion stories get out of the prayer meeting Wednesday ghetto and over to Moran Monday, and this one's one of them. And we don't have a lot of Moran stories coming out of the Mennonite church. Generally, they're pacifists and fairly liberal and reasonably tolerant. But the Mennonite church, and many people don't realize this because most people don't sit around thinking about Mennonites for one thing. The Mennonite church has just about come completely undone over marriage equality. This is the story of Chester Wenger. Chester Wenger is out of Lancaster, Pennsylvania. He's been a leader in the Mennonite church for 65 years. He is, in fact, 96 years old. He's been a pastor. He's been a missionary. He's been ordained in the Mennonite clergy since 1949. Thirty-five years ago, Chester Wenger's son was excommunicated from the Mennonite church for being gay. But even after the Mennonite church excommunicated his son, Chester Wenger continued on ministering within that faith. Recently, however, when marriage equality became the law of the land in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, his son who was excommunicated 35 years ago, came to him and said, "Dad, I'd be honored if you would perform the wedding ceremony for me and the man I intend to marry, to whom he has been in a committed relationship, with whom he has been in a committed relationship for 27 years. And so it was on June the 21st, 96-year-old Chester Wenger performed the wedding ceremony for his son and his beloved. Being apparently a fairly scrupulous member of the cloth, he then reported the marriage to the Lancaster Mennonite Conference Credentialing Committee. On September the 10th, that committee met and defrocked a 96-year-old Mennonite pastor who had given his entire life to that faith. The Mennonite Conference described the revocation of credentials as mutually gracious and respectful. By way of his own explanation, Pastor Wenger said, "I know persons will accuse me for my transgression, but my act of love was done on behalf of the church I love, and my conscience is clear. When my wife and I read the Bible with today's fractured, anxious church in mind, we ask, what is Jesus calling us to do with those sons and daughters who are among the most despised people in the world, in all races and communities? What would Jesus do with our sons and daughters who are bullied, homeless, sexually abused, and driven to suicide at far higher rates than our heterosexual children? We invite the church to courageously stake out new territory, much as the early church did. We invite the church to embrace the missional, at least it ain't Halkin, opportunity to extend the church's blessing of marriage to our homosexual children who desire to live in accountable, covenanted ways." By the way, young people in the Mennonite church, and they really exist. I mean, they got a whole university. And it's a good one, too, over in Harrisonburg, Virginia. I have dear friends there. Young people in the Mennonite church are like, "You're kidding. You have got to be kidding. This cannot possibly be an issue." I mean, these are people who hung by their thumbs at Fort Leavenworth rather than take the life of another human being in the First World War. But by God, two guys getting married, that's the hill they're going to die on. So the Lancaster Mennonite Conference nominee this 10th day of November 2014 on this here Moran Monday. It is 15 minutes past the hour. We are still looking to finish off Gary Laborman's Moran Monday kick a right-wing nut job in the nuts and make them really hurt. Have a show on me challenge. $40 to go, and in an hour and 15 minutes, we still have $40 to go. It means a lot when people put these things on the table that they be appropriately responded to. If you want to help out, the interface for PayPal is at under the Contribute tab at headonradionetwork.com. If you wish to participate by traditional mailing processes, it is the address is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801. And do please remember, don't make anything payable to Bob Kincaid. Make it payable to The Horn or Head On Communications, because I never see them. That's something Boss Man Wayne takes care of. So we'll take a little break, light up the phones. They're both wide open for you if you wish. No, wait. Never mind the bumper. I've been babbling away. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hey,
Bob.
Hey, what's up, Tim?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm getting along. I realized that I'm so sorry. I realized you were over there. I was about to go to a break, but no, let's not go to a break. Let's talk.
I'm sorry. I just signed in around 4 o'clock my time. Hey, I got a question about the Flush Limbaugh lawsuit supposedly against the DCCC. I saw that story and I wanted to share it with you. And I read it and I'm like, and I was thinking, Sandra Fluck, because I found the quote, what he said about her, calling her a slut and a prostitute. And Limbaugh then said, okay, she's not a slut, she's round-heeled. Round-heeled is an old-fashioned term for promiscuity.
Right, yeah.
So then my question
and
then
she's
is,
round-heeled because of all the time she spends on her back.
Right, exactly. So he wants to sue the DCCC because of, definition of character or whatever.
Well, see, I'd love to go into that proceeding and move to dismiss the case because of an essential element is missing therefrom. You cannot defame a character when there is no character there to defame.
But also, he's famous too, so isn't the DCC immune from lawsuits too?
Oh, I don't think so. They're a private entity. They're not a governmental entity.
Right. So he can't sue, or it'll get thrown out.
They're not immune from suit. They're completely suable. I mean, let's say Tim is walking up there to the DCCC headquarters, and some DCCC staffer opens the door and slams it right into your face and breaks your nose. Well, they're on the hook. They're suable.
Yeah. Right. But at the same time, if I were to say, oh, the DCCC is blah, 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 and this is what we're going to see, it's going to get thrown out because I'm a nobody. Excuse me. Wouldn't that also apply then to Sandra Fluck, too, because she was a nobody and he made all those comments? And if he decided...
No. Okay, you're kind of, in literary terms, Tim, we would say that you're mixing metaphors. And remember, I'm not a lawyer and I don't play one on the radio.
Right.
But the line of cases that comes down from New York Times versus Sullivan through Falwell versus Hustler, no, you're talking about the public figure standard,
right?
No. What that says is that you've got to prove actual malice, and you can't get much more public than Rush Limbaugh, and. It's supposedly that standard makes it more difficult to obtain judgment. And that's why if you're the DCCC, you say, okay, you want the publicity? We'd like some publicity too. Sue us, MF-er.
Right.
File it. We're waiting.
But if he does sue, though, can
he won't. He won't. He won't because he will not sue because his entire past will come out, and some stuff maybe that he doesn't even want to come out will come out. Discovery is a hell of a thing.
Yeah, I know about that. My friend's an attorney too. So his Jeff, what's his name? The male prostitute or whatever. When he was a former DJ, that'll come out too, right?
Oh, Jeff Christie in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
It depends on where what's become of the records. I mean, supposedly there's a bust that I mean, just check on the internet, and you know the internet never lies. But it's not hard to find. There's a reference online to him being busted during his Jeff Christie days for gay pandering in the Hill District of Pittsburgh. And then there's the other reference supposedly coming from the brief amount of time that he spent in community college or somewhere from his roommate who said that, oh, yeah, he was just gay, 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 gay.
So it's just all publicity on his part, then?
Yeah, this is desperation. It's not just publicity. It's desperation. He's not trying to salvage his reputation. He doesn't have a reputation to salvage. He is desperately trying to stay in the saddle, as it were, behind the golden EIB microphone.
And at the same time, I mean, with his advertisers going bye-bye, it's going to be even worse. Because all this is falling apart.
Yeah, but all the business with the advertisers is, that's the other thing he's protecting. All the business with these advertisers is so much smoke and mirrors. I have said for years, Tim, and this is just based on the way rate cards work in radio stations, they're paying him $55 million a year.
Right.
Okay. On top of that, the Clear Channel executives have to get paid. Okay. And, yes, they charge stations to run Limbaugh's program now. Back when I was in Beckley, I think they were paying, I think that station, and they quit doing it, too, was paying like $4,500 a year for the privilege of running Rush Limbaugh. Now, it didn't begin that way. It started as a barter deal. You know, you get the program, and all you have to do is run our commercials in the program, and then you can run commercials in the program and benefit from being blah, blah. You understand?
Right. Yes.
You cannot make the I have maintained all along that you can't make the numbers add up to make Rush Limbaugh worth $55 million doing that. And in fact, there have been leaks and stories here and there about all the money that these right-wing think tanks have pumped into the likes of that flatulent gas bag over the years. Millions of dollars. Millions. Propping him up. And his wealth had very little to do, in fact, with all those ads run for Homer's Texaco free car wash with fill up on Friday. The whole thing is a tissue of lies. It's smoke and mirrors. It's a dodge. It's a con. And in point of fact, he brags about his numbers and everything, but at the end of the day, all of these right-wing radio programs are deeply subsidized, which, of course, is no small degree ironic for people who say that the free market and capitalism will solve all problems. And the reason, conversely, the reason that progressive or liberal programs struggle is because we believe that shit, when in fact it is that shit. It's a tissue of lies. The fact of the matter is we don't have left-wing think tanks who will pump money into this medium the way that the right-wing pumps it into radio on their side. And that's why it's such a constant struggle for people, for progressives and liberals, no matter how good they are, to remain on the air.
That is true. Which leads me to this, another question, outside of, you know, the lawsuit and everything. From your professional opinion as a host, as a former disc jockey or whatever on terrestrial radio, is what Limbaugh doing? Does he believe what he's doing, or is he trying to be, you know, a shock jock, you know, like what Stern was when he was on terrestrial radio?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Or,
well, okay, you're not done. Yeah. No, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is Rush Limbaugh, I mean, from your professional opinion, do you think he believes what he's actually saying, or is he just trying to be a shock jock and trying to garner some type of, you know, shocking, you know, description of himself, like Stern did when he was on Terrestrial
Radio? I think Howard Stern does a very, very different kind of thing. Howard Stern can be, he can do a pretty good interview. Rush Limbaugh can't. Rush Limbaugh is nothing but a political operative. I don't have to agree with Howard Stern constantly or disagree with him constantly, but I can recognize that there is some significant brains and a whole lot of talent there.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever talent Rush Limbaugh had, he burned up a long time ago. I mean, if you listen to his old, if you listen, for instance, to his old Pittsburgh air checks, you can hear him using the same stupid liners in Pittsburgh that he still uses on the air now. You know, from 40 freaking years ago. Everybody says, well, you know, think whatever you want of Rush Limbaugh. He's a great talent. Bullshit. He is nothing of the sort. By any... This isn't necessarily him trying to be a shock jock. This is him. What his role? Let me see if I can just enunciate this clearly. His role is to be the talking id of the Repiglican Party.
The water boy, in other words.
Well, no. He's the id. If you think back to Freudian theory of the id, the ego, and the superego.
Right.
You know, the id is that really sort of. We don't want to let it go out and walk around much because it's probably going to get arrested. He's the id of the Republican Party. Whatever comes into his mind goes out of its mouth, and it represents the most essential, basic, nasty yearnings of the Republican Party.
So, like, mental disorder radio, then.
No, I'm not going to go there because Savage Wiener worked that a while back, you know, in a book, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. It's just all the misogyny, all the racism, all the filthiest, most vile aspects of right-wing Repiglicanism come out of Rush Limbaugh's mouth. You know, he's not gonna do any of that upper level thinking. He's just pure lizard brain for 3 hours a day. You know, chew up a few Oxycontins for the refreshing burst of flavor, tune up the cochlear implant and go.
He's the voice piece of the Republican Party.
Well, he is that, but there are others who are mouthpieces for the Republican Party who speak to other portions of it. His is the part of the Republican Party. He gives voice to the gutter urges of the Republican Party. He's not an intellectual. He isn't a brain. He just opens his mouth and says nasty shit. Because it plays to the weirdos. He's a dog whistle. He's a jiggling human dog whistle. You know, when he says all FBI wanted posters look like the Reverend Jesse Jackson, everybody, all the white people listening to him understand that's what he means, is that black people are essentially poor have poor characters and are prone to crimes and violence. Okay? When he says that Sandra Fluck is a slut, he is giving voice to the Republican male id that says, I sure wish I could have sex with anybody I want to, and instead it's me and that old knothole on the pine tree every Friday night. Goddamn dingus is beginning to smell like bacon grease.
So it's a whole lot of nothing then.
Sure. Sure.
You know what's, you know, as I went looking through the story, I was posting on, you know, like the Blaze and whatever. I do shit like that. But I said, lawsuit, Rush Limbaugh. I thought Republicans don't like trial lawyers and blah, blah, blah. And
well, until they need them. You know, I remember when Flush, back before we all found out that he was a goddamn miserable pursuer of street drugs, because, you know, when you don't have a real prescription for them and you're just buying them from somebody on the street, even if it says OxyContin, it's a street drug. That's the transformation, right? Right? Before we found out he was just another junkie, Rush would do three-hour programs or, you know, portions of three-hour programs where he would inveigh against the communist American Civil Liberties Union trying to destroy America. And then, lo and behold, he gets popped for doctor shopping, and here comes the American Civil Liberties Union saying, now, we realize that, you know, a lot of people may not like Rush, but, you know, we have a constitution here, and we're pretty sure that doctor shopping is, the doctor shopping statute's unconstitutional, and you can't just single out Rush Limbaugh. And ever since then, he hasn't had a goddamn word to say about the ACLU because they pulled his bacon, and rancid bacon it is. Right out of the fire.
And I remember that because he said on the air that he goes, I have nothing against the ACLU. I don't like their V's on Christmas, but they are a great organization. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
So like you said, it depends when you need them. I mean, the word civil liberties should be like, I guess you could say the wet-wing dog whistle for, hey, that's evil, that's socialism, that's communism. But then his fans were like, huh? They were actually confused by his support of the ACLU. I was reading, you know, the comments and the blogs from his site and different sites. And people were just saying, is Rush Limbaugh gone liberal? And then I was commenting too, and I said, yeah, he turned liberal. He's a lefty now.
Yeah.
And it just pissed people off because, yeah, he used a trial lawyer, blah, 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 to protect himself. And what about you, folks? Don't you know that you're just a sucker? He's like a multimillionaire using every advantage he can to protect himself. He couldn't care less about you. And then, waiting for comments, I hear nothing. So, like you said, Rush Limbaugh is the biggest, fattest, slimiest dog whistle around. And this, again, like this lawsuit, which a lot of Republicans, a lot of conservatives don't like, seem to be in a lurch because... You know,
yeah, and see, it's Haley just pointed out something by Twitter. Haley said it sounds as if Limbaugh's trying to keep his current gig because being a barter program in Fordyce, Arkansas is a step down for EIB. and that's because he started out barter, but he worked his way up to being, you know, the people having to pay for the program. Takes a lot of Fordyce, Arkansas, 50 waters to make up a Gulfstream 5, though. It's a tall order to make that work.
You know, I can understand why you're getting sick, your neck is hurting so badly, your body's aching. I mean, I'm out here in California, and I could just laugh it off, but you're in West Virginia. You're in the South, and it's like, you're lefty in the South, and it's so stressful. Plus, you know, you study the law. You have your doctor's degree in law, and it drives you nuts. I'd say, to be honest with you, I'm surprised you haven't had a stroke yet.
Let's not mention that, okay? I mean, don't speak the devil's name. No, I just need a vacation.
Oh, yeah, you do, definitely. Oh, my gosh. This is so sickening. I mean, it's sheer stupidity. And you see the hypocrisy in these different websites, these different news sites, that even I could point it out, and I'm just a, you know, some flub out in California. I'm just some goofball in California, and I'm pointing this out. And then when you try to point it out to the people on the right, it's just pure silence. They just don't understand. And this is the advantage that people like Limbaugh have over them. Limbaugh couldn't care less about, you know, his listeners. Just so long as they have the support, so long as the RNC could get their message out. And the message is hate. The message is sexism, racism, and all the different isms that destroys the U.S. And then this thing about a lawsuit. Diggs and Deal. I mean, even I know that. I'm not smart enough to be a lawyer either.
Going to law school, Tim.
I should go. I'm thinking about it so badly. Like I said, I even know that. Everyone in the horn room knows this. Everyone inside here, even the Malloy chat room, everyone knows that. But it's so goddamn irritating at times. You know, you have logical people like you in West Virginia, like Mike in Georgia.
But, you know, I've thought about that. I'm not to sit here and just wax, you know, wax philosophical or anything, but I've thought about that. In fact, we were kind of chit-chatting back and forth about that last Friday night in the after-hours chat. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if the program would be worth listening to if I wasn't doing it from here in the belly of the beast.
Mm.
What would it sound like to go on the air every? Well, it's a lovely day here, and it's a lovely day here in the place in, you know, fill in the blank, California, Oregon, Washington, you know, somewhere where government functions. It's a lovely day here. You know, the Republicans are quiet. Every time they pop their heads up out of the swamp, we just play whack-a-mole and knock them back down again. But in all fairness, I said it last week, and I'll say it again. You're next, Tim. They're coming for you. They got all the money in the world. And the only states they have left to break are you, Washington, Oregon, arguably Minnesota. I'd say they'll go after Minnesota next because they've got a common border with Wisconsin and they can just infiltrate.
Right.
You know what? New York, Massachusetts, Vermont.
Mm-hmm. You know what's really funny, though? I had a friend who lived in Connecticut. She came down to Georgia. She works for the Social Security office. She came over here on vacation for I guess, a week or so. I visited her. She's a really good friend of mine. And she's a black woman. And I called her up, and I said, so, how do you like San Diego so far? She goes, I love it. And I said, you know, that's a Republican city. And she goes, but it's so different. So I said, are the white women grabbing their purses, you know, their purses because they're sitting next to them? And she said, no. And she started chuckling. And I said, you know, the Republicans are different in San Diego or even Orange County than the Republicans down in the like them. They're still Republicans. They're still morons, morons. But it's like a different environment. And she goes, yeah. And I said, you know, the last three Republican governors we had, Pete Wilson, George Duke-Majian, and Arnold Schwarzenegger, were all pro-choice. I mean, they have their Republican values, but...
Yeah, but Bishop Willard Romney was pro-choice as long as he was governor of Massachusetts, Tim. But then when he went walkabout out among the strychnine swiggers and the snake handlers and the floor rollers, all of a sudden he was against the gay marriage. And he was and he didn't want anybody, any of them women taking that slut medicine. Republican hypocrisy knows no bounds, and there's no basement to how low it can go either.
Dare I say the Republicans in California, like in San Diego and Orange County, are more progressive than... I don't know if I could say that. Maybe I can say that.
No, I don't know. I've seen some of the stuff coming out of there. It's pretty twisted.
That is. I mean, we have John and Tom Metzger down in San Diego, you know, the head of the White Aryan Resistance. But beyond that, the conservative seems to be different. I mean, I guess it's attitude-wise. Like I said, even Pete Wilson was pro-choice, and he was, I guess, the mayor of San Diego. And it's confusing. I mean, it's confusing. And, yeah, I guess you are right. The RNC wants to get California and make this a red state once more, because 25, 30 years ago, California used to be a red state.
Yeah, and don't think it can't happen again. I happened to catch a little bit of a monologue, and I posted it on my Facebook page, a chunk of the monologue from Bill Maher this past week. He had Bernie Sanders on the program, and Bernie showed that once again he is probably the most eminently qualified individual to sit in the office of the president this entire country has to offer among its political class. And the opening for that was Maher remarking on the fact that just a few years ago California was referred to as ungovernable. Back when Arnold was the governor.
Yeah.
And he went on to praise Jerry Brown and said, were it not for the fact that Jerry Brown is 76 years old, he would be the obvious choice to be the nominee for President of the United States in 2016.
Yeah.
And, of course, if I get the members of the Horn Family Commune congregation correctly, there would be some disagreement there because they think that Jerry Brown has succeeded by becoming more conservative, that he's moved not to the center, but from the center to the right.
You know, I may agree with that, but I wonder then if it's more of maybe an Eisenhower right?
Well, the thing I hear more than anything, the complaint I hear is that Jerry Brown is open to fracking, and I don't know of anybody in the Horn Family Commune congregation, Tim, who thinks that fracking is a good idea.
Remember that earthquake we had in about a year or two ago, or about a year ago?
Yeah.
It was a 5.1. It was in Brea, California. Well, that area where the epicenter was, they frack there too.
Why am I not surprised?
Yeah. Well, LA City, it's bad fracking. So, yeah, that 5.1, it was a pretty big earthquake. We were like, oh shit, an earthquake. And when we did the research, it was probably because of fracking.
Yeah.
And I have this little app on my Firefox page, and I'm constantly looking at it and seeing an Oklahoma earthquake, you know, 3, Piernella in California, obviously because of fracking. But a lot of people were saying, well, it's the New Madrid fault line. I go, no, it isn't. It's fracking. And it's getting worse.
Oh, and, without a doubt.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if they're, fracking up in Nevada. They might be. But there's been a swarm of earthquakes, and I think the past 2 or 3 months, there were like several hundred earthquakes. That has been increasing from 3 points.
And they're happening in Texas too. I remember one evening when Edward was telling us about them, and he of course calls from Dallas. Sure.
And I remember the one in D.C. Remember the earthquake in D.C.? There was this guy from California. He was in his room on the computer, and he said, "Oh, an earthquake." So then he just kept on typing. About 45 minutes later, he stepped outside, and he saw everyone. He goes, "What the heck are they doing out on the streets?" He's looking around. He said, "Oh my gosh, there was an earthquake." But that's like something new to people outside of California, and places where you have the Ring of Fire. But they're probably but the fracking that we're doing in California and the earthquake that's being caused from it, they're probably going to blame the Ring of Fire. And don't think people realize this. And getting back to Rush Limbaugh, don't people realize this besides people like us? People in the Horn Malloy chat? No, they don't. Why? Because you have Limbaugh, you have Fox News, you have The Blaze, you have all these right-wing talk show hosts. And it's stupidity at its finest. And at times, even here in California, I go nuts. Like, what the? You'll see my, if you ever see my comments on Facebook, I'll post all this crap on here. Because sometimes I'll go nuts and I'll just type my opinion and then let it go and let people comment.
And they'll take right off.
Yeah, and I think I'll just I was posting about Rush on my Facebook page, and I don't know if it's just an exercise in futility when you have how many millions of people on Facebook who are believing what Rush is about to do, when in reality, all it is just, like you said, he's, like Lottie said, Rush Limbaugh is going down, going down the bow.
Yeah.
He's circling the bow.
Yep, indeed. Well, Tim, it's good talking to you. I'm going to, I've got somebody on the gizmo line, so we'll check in there as well.
Thank you, Vaughn.
Don't be a stranger. Anytime.
Thank you, Doctor.
Yeah, don't call me that.
I sense it.
Later, Tim. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Our buddy Tim calling from L.A. And, yes, let us go to the gizmo line. Hey, welcome to the program. Hello? I got the wrong button. Let's try again.
And how are you?
I'm well, Jim. How are you?
Pretty good. Just a few things. By the way, today is the birthday of the Marine Corps.
I noticed that earlier. Yes, it is.
And I think we all owe a great deal of debt to those men. And moving on Don Imus this morning on Fox Business News, his guest there was John McCain.
Oh, dear.
And, well, it was a fairly benign interview, and nothing really was said, and McCain sat there, and Lindsey Graham was mentioned, and of course Senator McCain enthused about Lindsey Graham, and towards the very end of the interview he said, you should have him on the program. You know what Don Imus said?
I can't wait.
I don't interview transvestites.
Whoa, no.
Sure did.
I think that's pretty sleazy relative to the trans community, but it's certainly a nice shot again across Lindsay's bow.
Well, that's the reason I mentioned it. And so, basically, the camera stayed on McCain, and normally they just pan away and allow the guests to leave, but McCain just got up immediately and just walked out right on camera.
I'm surprised he didn't yell, "Well, I never."
No, I mean, Imus is somebody, I have a lot of respect for Don Imus, and he basically attempts to at least achieve an element of fair and balanced reporting most times. Sometimes he comes in there in a very bad mood and stuff like that, and, you know, shock jock type thing. But he has a good deal of very good reportage. But McCain just got up and walked out. And I love it when Imus refers to the Fox people on the other channel, the three Stygian witches.
Yes.
That pass the brain between them. Those absolute idiots. But, you know, if you want to get it straight, if you want to hear what a man has to say, Imus does it. Don't always agree with him. A lot of times I do. But it's a program worth watching, particularly for the information that's given, financial and other things of that nature. And that's the purpose of it. But I thought you might find it interesting that...
I'm surprised that didn't get picked up and run around on all the liberal sites. I didn't see that anywhere today.
Well, maybe it's too early for them because Imus comes on at 6 in the morning. I don't know. But nonetheless, that's what he said. He said, "Yeah, I don't do transvestites." And McCain looked as though he had been hit by a cattle prod, and they were talking about McCain's career in the Air Force. And not only had McCain said this, excuse me, not only had he crashed one jet, but four.
It's true.
And, you know, in training, and so he said, "I wasn't a very good pilot," and this, that, and the other. But nonetheless, okay, things do happen in jet aircraft, and but when it got to Senator Graham, well, boom. And there wasn't a whole lot said after that. I mean, I said, well, there it is, and there you have it.
And, of course, not. I don't think there's any realistic allegation out there that Lindsay is a trans person. I think it's more likely that he's just, well, the consensus seems to be that he is deeply in the closet.
Well, what do you think Imus was digging at?
Well, apparently that.
Exactly that. I mean, you know, he just said it right there. It didn't even bat an eyelash. But I thought you might find that interesting, as I said before. And I'll say this again. Imus is somebody who does not suffer fools gladly. I mean, this man came up from being a mine worker, a railroad man, overcame a terrific drug habit, established that ranch for kids with cancer, and he's contributed a great deal to help people. And I have a lot of respect for him. You don't have to agree with somebody to respect them. But he sure let Graham have it today vis-a-vis that.
Well, that's weird. While we were talking, I just ran and did a quick search. Just Don Imus calls Lindsey Graham transvestite, and it's not even popping on the search engines.
Well, I heard it. I didn't imagine it. It was there.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not questioning your veracity. I'm just saying it's...
You're not going to find that on the search engines. I can tell you that right now. It may come out later on. But that's what he said. and it was, well,
I wonder if Don got a call from Rupert's office or Rogers.
I doubt it, because he says a lot. You know, he says a lot of things. I mean, you know, he calls people bastards and stuff like that. People, his own staff. He has a, for example, a team of comedians, Rob Bartlett and some other guy, and Bartlett does all types of things. The Elephant Man and. Oh, who's the guy who was shot? Who's the big porno king?
Ron Jeremy?
No. No, this was, this fella.
Larry Flint?
Yeah, he does Larry Flint and stuff like that. And, you know, it's just, you know, I find the program informative and amusing and sometimes a little, it doesn't bother me.
Well, you're right though. It's just a tough hour of the day because I don't know. Somebody'd have to throw cold water in my face to get me up at that hour.
Well, the people who really participate in that thing and get it going have to get up at 2:30 in the morning, and of course they have to travel from wherever they are to the headquarters there in New York City, and then they have to go through makeup and all this other kinds of stuff. And so by the time they get on there, they're ready to go. And if they aren't ready to go, you can be rest assured that Imus will tell it right there on the air about his own staff. So, you know, if you want to hear it from somebody and not have the sickening and disgusting crap that comes out of Rush Limbaugh, well...
I'm still just, Jim, I'm just still trying to recover from hearing about the halcyon days of late autumn.
The halcyon days of what?
No, and I didn't say halcyon. I said halcyon.
I'm sorry.
It's having the same effect on you it had on me.
Were you trying to say...
No, I was trying to say halcyon, because that's how it was pronounced. By a news anchor this morning. Say goodbye to the halcyon days of late autumn.
No, that's not quite right. Even Brian Ferry in his songs will tell you, as he sings so well about a halcyon in one of his songs, and I've been in England and I don't know how
but it's a beautiful learning experience because I did not realize that it was also a name for a mythical bird who...
It's also a name for a drug for sleep.
Absolutely, absolutely. I've got an email here from Dan, who says it's Halcyon is a street in San Leandro near where I live. He said my sister-in-law thought it was named after the psychotropic medication.
Well, that's one George Bush 41 was taking when he was in Japan and passed out.
Oh, is that when he puked on the Japanese prime minister?
I didn't see him puke on the Japanese prime minister. I know that he collapsed at the table.
Yeah, I think he vomited on the prime minister while he was at it there.
I don't know about that, but I just know the man collapsed, and later it emerged that he had been taking halcyon for sleep, and it's extremely addictive and it's extremely efficacious. It'll knock you right out. If you're going to take one of those, you better have one foot on the floor and the other in the bed. But nonetheless, yeah, sure was. But I thought you might be interested on what...
I'm fascinated by that because there's a lot of folks out there who are really good at clipping this stuff out. And I saw nothing of that anywhere, Jim.
Well, it was there and I heard it. And I don't hallucinate, and believe you me, I have superb hearing.
You don't hallucinate unless you mean to. Let's put it that way.
Well, I never mean to hallucinate, really. Tell you the truth.
Oh, okay. I did.
Done enough of that in earlier days, wilder days.
That's what I'm talking about. You don't do that unless you mean to.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Well, that's... something I put behind me a long time ago, and I put away the big bong pipe with the aquarium pump and all that.
And the stuff. Stirrups, yes.
Yes, in the stirrups. Yes, yes. One thing about it, if you ride one of those, and I've ridden a lot of horses too, it'll certainly help you keep a good seat in the saddle.
Oh, I have no doubt whatsoever.
But I thought you might find that
over there, over there by the dental floss bush, right?
That's right.
Just you and the pygmy pony.
Going to Montana soon, or my painted pony, and going to be a dental floss tycoon. God rest his soul, Frank Zappa. What a critter.
Hear.
But Jim, anyway, yes, sir.
No, I was just going to say, you have yourself a good evening.
Likewise. Glad you're having a better evening than you did Friday night.
Well, and, I am. I'm just kind of trying to figure, you know, take it. We'll take the next step now and find out what happens, you know, after this.
Well, I'm glad that they didn't find anything that bizarre.
Yeah, right. It wasn't neck Ebola or anything.
Well, I mean, you know, the neck is an extremely vascular region. I mean, think of what goes through your neck. I mean, it's basically the conduit for everything, and it's the most vascular part of the body.
And it's also a damn fine argument against it's a damn fine argument against so-called intelligent design.
Okay.
That and wisdom teeth in the appendix.
Well, those are just things. I mean, well, wisdom teeth and the appendix are sort of unnecessary things that cause us a lot of problems, but nonetheless, the neck is extremely vascular and it has a lot of stuff going through it.
And mine feels like it has gravel in it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, it used to just kind of bob along like a bobblehead bulldog in the back of a 57 Chevy, but now it's like, I feel like the Ronald Reagan display in the House of Dummies down at Disneyland. Hey, welcome to the House of Presidents. You know.
Okay. Well, that's as good of an analogy as I can listen to, and I'll let you go for another caller. But when he said that, I just couldn't believe McCain. I mean, McCain just looked at him like, I don't believe he said that because he was telling Don Imus what, and I'm repeating myself unnecessarily, but nonetheless, he was telling them what, you know, good friends they were, this, that, and the other. Why don't you have him on the program? And Imus said that, and believe you me, the axe came down. That was it. McCain got up and just left that set.
Well, he is known for his grumpiness. Now, I saw that interview with McCain the other day, and he looked like he had so much Botox in him that if he tried to raise his eyebrows, he'd castrate himself.
Oh, he looked good. He looked good. He was very, very, very well turned out and well made up and whatever, Botox or whatever. He'd done a good job on him. He looked a lot younger, looked rested and everything. He was very happy about the recent election and this, that, and the other. And
yeah, I heard the remark the other day that he was begging and pleading with President Obama not to sign an executive order about immigration and give the Congress a chance to do its work. Hasn't the Congress had like 2 years to get that done, Jim?
Yeah, they have. But, you know, I will say this. Compared to some of the ones who are en route, if not already there, you might find McCain to be more reasonable than they.
That's a low bar right now, though.
Well, we're not trying to do the limbo here, but nonetheless, I think you might find McCain a lot more amenable to being cooperative than some of the foxhounds that are.
Oh, it's just going to be one merry day after another once Joni Ernst gets to the Senate and Tom Cotton.
Well, Joni Ernst is simply, as far as I'm concerned, she is a national disgrace.
Emphasis on the word simply.
That's all there is to it. I mean, you know, how in the world that woman got elected, I don't know. It's called money. Money bought the whole thing. And, you know, that's the thing.
I'd hate to be the editor, the managing editor of the Des Moines Register and have to get up and look at myself in the mirror every morning.
Well, that's his job, and that's what he has to do, and I don't envy him his position. That's for damn sure. And of course,
well, they did such a magnificent job of not reporting on what a blithering, babbling fool Joni Ernst is, as opposed to the screaming headlines they published about Bruce Braley saying that he don't like farmers, you know, in Iowa. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Now, isn't Joni Ernst the one who got had some trouble with the police?
No, that was her. That was her press spokesperson who got all who got all liquored up and went for a little drive around Iowa.
Okay, I thought that was the case, but I wasn't.
Yeah, another story the Des Moines Register refused to publish, lest it, you know, interfere with Joni Ernst's senatorial ambitions.
Right. Well, you know, a little hush money can do a lot of talking. And that's the end of my little thing for you tonight, and I will let you go and have another caller. And
all right, and happy Veterans Day tomorrow.
Well, thank you, sir.
Or Armistice Day, as it was once called.
Correct. Absolutely. But we owe these people a lot of debt, a lot of gratitude, and a lot of we need to remember them. And I hope they can get this VA thing straightened out so these guys don't have to wait 180 days. And I hope that they can clean out the Veterans Administration so they're not, you know, putting down false information and things of that nature. They really have a.
It's gonna take a long time to, and you know that applies to the rest of the country, Jim. It is gonna take a lot of time to undo the things that the Bush administration did to the government of We the People.
Well, one of the things they're trying to do now is to they're going back through Vietnam veterans. And a lot of these guys over there were discharged dishonorably, medically, this, that, and the other, and were denied benefits. And now under the under DOD SecDef, they have an organization now for the Army. It's called ABCMR, the Army Board for the Correction of Military Records, where they can go in and they can correct mistakes that were made to contracts, discharges, and things of that nature. And much attention is being paid to that. I used to work with ABCMR trying to get things for soldiers who had signed contracts and had not been offered certain benefits and had to take them up there and, you know, present their cases. Not personally, but with information that I had furnished, the applicant used to respond to a lot of congressionals that were designed to enable soldiers who were denied benefits, but yet because of a fluke on the part of the enlistment people, didn't tell them that they were enabled to have educational benefits, student loan repayment, tuition assistance, all kinds of stuff, medical, this, that, and the other. And attention is now being paid to that very seriously. And that came from Ronan Farrow today on MSNBC, who interviewed one of the senators who was on the Armed Services and Veterans Committee. And so they are making very serious efforts to go back to correct not only the recent things, but post-traumatic stress and things of that nature, but they go just for the recent wars, but all the way back to Vietnam. They are making an effort to do that. And it was a good interview that Ronan Farrow had with this guy. I can't remember his name. He was a senator and Republican, but nonetheless, they are recognizing that. And these men need to be compensated. They need to be honored, and they need to be understood. particularly about post-traumatic stress because it's the injury that leaves no mark, at least on the skin.
Yeah, exactly.
Take care.
All right, you have a good evening, Jim. Bye.
Out here.
Our buddy Jim calling from, also calling from southern West Virginia. So that means that both lines are open on this Moran Monday, 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676, or the other line, 304-574-8178. I've stopped calling that the Skype line because it apparently confuses people. Just 304-574-8178. They both come through into the same board, and they work equally well. And they are both wide open, as is Skype. Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N, is the method by which you reach out Skype to Skype. 11 minutes past the hour. We are 2 hours and 11 minutes into the program, and I regret to announce that we still have $40 to go to finish off Gary Laborman's Moran Monday Have a Show on Me challenge. That would take care of tomorrow, and we would actually be kind of getting out front of things, which is good to do because there are going to be lean days, lean evenings. No one's jumped in to either one at a time or eight at a time or four at a time or five at a time. No one's jumped in to finish off the remainder of Gary Laborman's Moran Monday Kick a Right Wing Nut Job in the Nuts challenge. Let's go over to the Skype line. We have Jeremy in Vermont. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Bob.
What's up?
I'm still hung up on the fact that Colorado elected a Klingenschmitt.
Well, you know what? Sometimes when you elect a Klingenschmitt, the only thing you can really do about that is it's 2 years of dosing with heavy laxatives. You got to get the Klingenschmitt out of your colon.
I'm sure give him 2 years, he'll probably produce enough rope to hang himself when they see who he really is and the sheep in wolf clothing he claims or doesn't claim to be but claims to not be, then you'll see. I mean, how he thinks that spanking transgender children is going to change them at all is just beyond me.
Well, them little boys, once they've had a proper beating, they'll stop wanting to be sissies. We'll beat some macho into them. That's what we'll do. Maybe send them over to Brother Dobson's house and let him take a shower with them.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, I
know.
That's almost too icky to express, isn't it?
Yeah, and then as for what Jim just brought up, it's mean against Graham, but it is kind of a slander towards any transgender person. I don't think they want to be link him in any way, shape, or form, to be honest with you.
Oh, I think, yeah.
I just think that's kind of icky being, you know, the guy that Graham portrays himself to be, you know, this super right-wing Christian who just seems like it's something you wouldn't want to be tied to. I mean, of course, this is Don. I mean, he's been known to make light and joke of things and use certain words against people, be it a racial word or a sexist word. We know he does it. He isn't as much of a shock jock as he used to be. And Jim is right. The guy he mentioned, Rob Bartlett, is hilarious. I mean, I remember back in the late 90s when Rob Bartlett would do his best Billy Bob, and it was the funniest thing I think I've heard around in a long, long time. I mean, that and, what's his name? The guy that came after, on Saturday Night Live, he's in Daryl Hammond. He did a really good Bill Clinton, too, I thought.
Well, a lot of people did a Bill Clinton back then, but that's...
I was thinking of Phil Hartman in the skit where he is on the jog and runs into McDonald's and tries everything on the menu out of people's hands.
Oh, Phil Hartman was good. Yeah, poor Phil Hartman.
We just came upon the anniversary, like I think it was the last week or the week before of his death. It's been like 15 years.
Oh, God, yeah, and, well, I loved news. Back then, I actually watched television fairly, you know, with some degree of regularity. And news radio was one of the ones I didn't miss.
Yeah, news radio actually spawned quite a few careers. I mean, it spawned the redhead. I can't think of her name right now. She's sort of still out there. Don't see so much of her, but like Joe Rogan, Andy Dick, a bunch of people came off that show.
Yeah, and of course, who played Jimmy James, the head of the corporation that owned it all?
Yeah, he's been in a couple of things too.
The Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? He fulfilled the Tiresias role. He was the blind disc jockey. Stephen Root. He was in Idiocracy. One of the funniest things I've ever seen on television. And I really do. I rank it right up there with Mary Tyler Moore Chuckles the Clown episode in terms of things I find funny. Was the episode where Jimmy James wrote a book about being a capitalist captain of industry in the United States, and it flopped. So he had it sent to Japan, translated into Japanese, and then translated from Japanese back into English and sent back to the United States. And he was like a rock star in Japan. And every now and then I just get a hankering for it and have to go, because I'll sit there and laugh uncontrollably.
I get that way from
Jimmy James, Capitalist Lion Tamer, I think is what it was.
We'll have to do Google search. No, a Google search for that, and YouTube search of it later tonight after I get done working. I think the only thing that I've laughed that hard at lately was, this is dated too, was Steve Carell Jim Carrey's in it. The one about God, where Jim Carrey gets the powers and makes Steve Carell talk crazy on the TV. I think I almost died laughing watching that segment. And also his portrayal of the kind of nutso, like, kind of ditzy, not to offend anyone out there, but ditzy, like, weatherman on the Anchorman. I laugh at his character, too, on that show.
Oh, it was Jimmy James, Macho Donkey Wrestler.
That sounds like some really bad WWE character, to be honest with you, nowadays.
Oh, no, I've got it all set. Now I got to roll it just to satisfy my own twisted desire for a good giggle. Yeah, it's I think the name of the episode was Super Karate Monkey Death Car. It's worth the effort. I don't know if it'll cross the Skype line to you, but we can certainly try. Hang on a minute.
Yep, it is.
See the good news in the paper today?
I don't think I
have. So just look right there.
Come hear Jimmy James read from his newly published memoirs, that books, et cetera.
Books, et cetera.
What memoirs?
Oh, no, maybe the title will refresh your memory. Jimmy James, Capitalist Lion Tamer.
Wait a minute, didn't that come out years ago?
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, and didn't it...
Bomb Miserably, yeah. Yeah, that was the English language version. See, a few months ago I translated it into Japanese, and guess what? Number one in Japan, 3 straight months.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. So I got to think, you know what, why not take the Japanese version and have it translated back into English?
Mm-hmm. That seems to work well for VCR instruction manuals.
Exactly.
Lab cracks.
What's the delay?
Huh? Well, I'm waiting for the book to get here. They didn't finish printing it until this morning, so.
You haven't seen the book yet?
No, not yet. Whew, sorry to keep you folks waiting, but the book's just got here. So, without any further ado, Jimmy James, CEO of Jimmy James Incorporated, will now read from his book, Jimmy James, Macho Business Donkey Wrestler. Thank you. Thanks a lot, everybody. The original title of this book was Jimmy James, Capitalist Lion Tamer, but I see now that it's
Jimmy James, macho business, donkey wrestler. You know what it is? I had the book translated into Japanese and back again into English, so... Macho business donkey wrestler. Well, there you go. Got kind of a ring to it, don't it?
It's all in the delivery.
Anyway, I wanted to read from Chapter 3, which is a story of my first rise to financial prominence. So. I had a small house of brokerage on Wall Street. Many days, no business comes to my hut. My hut, but Jimmy has fear? 1,000 times no. I never doubted myself for a minute, for I knew that my monkey's strong bowels were girded with strength, like the loins of a dragon, ribboned with fat and the opulence of buffalo dung. Monkey, clown, horrible, karate, round and yummy, like a cute small baby chick would beat the donkey. Mr. James,
it's it reduces me to tears every time.
Oh my God!
Yeah, I can add, yeah, and we can add to that the Thanksgiving episode of WKRP. This God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly. yes.
Well, wild turkeys can fly, and they can not for a long ways, but they can fly pretty good.
Well, and see, there it is. I noticed Ron in the chat room noting, I have to opt for Dr. Johnny Fever as the best character ever in a sitcom. It's brilliant. Yeah. Les, congratulations on that proud pig, Les. It's the silver sow, Johnny. Right, you are. Oh God, I needed that.
Also, it kind of puts a smile on my face that Rush has resorted to suing, try to get people to hush up because he's in dire straits now, losing a lot of his advertising folks.
No, this is all a desperate attempt to get people to talk about Rush, and you know, I just wanted to oblige by, you know, pointing out his monkey strong bowels, you know, girded with buffalo dung. Sorry.
If you listen closely, you can hear him gasping. It may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, but in the future, his place will be gone. He's done enough damage in the last 3 or 4 years of his own career that I think he's slowly etching his way out of history.
Well, the fact that he's got the money he has and he won't go away just proves that he's addicted to something other than money. I don't know. He's probably put several psychotherapist children, entire families through dental school at this point in time.
I'm sure. I mean, he definitely abides by the, doesn't abide by, you know, no good, no news is good news. He seems to thrive off of hearing bad news about himself. I mean, he has for, what, 30 years now?
Yay, God. Yeah, indeed.
But I'll let you know because I don't really have a whole lot else. I just want to bring up those couple facts. But
I'm glad you did. I'm glad indeed. Sure. Jeremy, you have yourself a wonderful evening.
You too. Thanks.
All right. See ya. Bye now.
Bye.
Jeremy calling from Vermont. And I can't let this go unnoted. There is stupid in the world. And then there is that website that is named after two words that rhyme with light and fart. And the essence is the same. You know, we're talking about Breitbart. So, you know, we have a new Attorney General nominee. Her name is Loretta Lynch. She has twice been the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of New York. She is apparently very well thought of in D.C. legal circles. But because she was nominated by that one in our White House, and because she, too, is, you know, one of those, this would not sit well with the gang of hacks over there at the incredibly well-funded Breitbart website. So lo and behold, they publish a story, because of all the things that you can accuse of happening, accuse Breitbart of doing, journalism ain't one of them. So there it was, a story which has now been 404 disappeared with a big old headline. Obama's Attorney General nominee Loretta Lynch represented Clintons during Whitewater by Warner Todd Houston. And away they ran. This just goes to show how corrupt. Those Clintons. Mena Airport! Hillary killed Vince Foster. And on and on and on along that. Like that. So, there's only one problem. It was the wrong Loretta Lynch. As in, not the one who has been nominated, not the Loretta Lynch who has been nominated for Attorney General of the United States, and not even Loretta Lynn. But a different person altogether. And the way Breitbart handled it was to simply repeat the entire story and then append a sentence at the bottom of the piece saying, oh, by the way, this is not the same Loretta Lynch. No, really. And that's pretty much right-wing media in a nutshell. What? We got it completely wrong? So? I mean, how much can we fix of this? It's not like you can really issue a correction except to say everything inside this article, I mean, if the word the appears in this article, it's wrong. If the article A appears in this article, it's wrong. This in this article is wrong. Article in this article is wrong. You can't. You can't get past this. The two Loretta Lynches in question are both women. One of them is, shall we say, much, much, much paler than the other. And of course, the right wing is generally having a purple polka dotted blue screaming hissy over all of this. Carol noted a little bit ago that she had an absolute romping good time going through the comments section over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda's story about it. Carol says, I've never seen that word, the one that begins with N and ends with R, and I just don't like to say it, written so many times on a single page. Well, because it's Republicans. That's Fox. The Breitbart article by Warner Todd Houston said, few are talking about Loretta Lynch being part of Bill Clinton's Whitewater probe defense team in 1992. The connection to Whitewater ought to provide additional fodder for Republicans during Lynch's confirmation hearings. It's odd that Obama chose someone so close to the Clintons, or perhaps not, given the prominent role played by Clinton insider John Podesta in the second term of the Obama White House. Lynch has been rewarded throughout her career for her political loyalty, not an unusual path up the career ladder for federal prosecutors, but certainly one that will allow the GOP, as well as Obama, to raise the political stakes. Now, here's where I want the over-under. By the way, American Thinker, no, really, that's its name, had the same hissy. Or a very similar one. Now, here's the over-under. Or, I don't know, maybe it's not an over-under. I'm seeking wagers here for which Republican member of the United States Senate at the time of the confirmation hearings completely misses the fact that Breitbart got it wrong and American Thinker got it wrong. Any bets? I think we have to, you know, even you can't just say I bet the number 12 horse will win in the 6th at Aqueduct. No. Let's see. Senate Judiciary. Come on, you can type, Bob. Committee. Because they're the ones who will hear this. All right. Here are the ones in the race. Members of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Oh my, I think we have some rich opportunities here. The ranking member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, the Republican, who will soon be the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, is in fact a guy who ain't no lawyer. And that is, of course, Senator Chuck Grassley from Iowistan. Also present on the, oh my goodness, I don't know, the odds. Okay, so you got your choices. We're going to lay our bets as to which person thinks Loretta Lynch worked with the Clinton Whitewater defense team. You've got a choice. Chuck Grassley, which, and in other words, this is along the same lines of which right-wing idiot would be most likely to cite an Onion story about marijuana overdoses from people injecting the marijuana and dying on the first try. That kind of stupid. Here are your choices. Senator Chuck Grassley, Orrin Hatch of Utah, Jeff Sessions of Alabama. Oh, I think he had, I don't know, he might be paying 1-2 on this. Senator Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions of what? But you've also got Senator Lindsey Graham and John Cornyn of Texas and Mike Lee of Utah, who, remember, is one of the smart ones, and I'd say that has to make him at least even money. And then there's Ted Cruz, son of Raphael, anointed future king of America. Or the ironically named Jeff Flake of Arizona Stan. Place your bets. Yes, indeed. La juste en fait, la juste en fait. There's your choices. Grassley, Hatch, Sessions, Graham, Cornyn, Lee, Cruz, Flake. Like I said, I think if you really, really, if you want to bet on Jeff Sessions, yeah, no, I just lowered the odds. It's 1-3. You gotta bet $3 to win one. Yes, Carol noting, Ted Cruz is sure that Loretta Lynch is a communist and a Nazi. So, You pick. See, that's the sad thing, Carol. The House has nothing to do with this. This is just a Senate exercise. The House doesn't get to play advise and consent. Otherwise, well, Steve King. Or, as you note, Louis Gomer. Or Paul Brown, because this is a lame duck. This is a lame duck Congress on the way out. Tough call. Tough call indeed. Where else? Or I guess we should say, what else? And I mentioned earlier that we had a couple on this here Moran Monday who were going to sneak out of prayer meeting Wednesday and into the land where we honor and note the daily strivings of the Morans. Got your hockey pucks? Got your duct tape? Good.
I want to inform you that the Sodomites led a protest against our church this past Sunday. Several members of the Pennsylvania Oath Keepers came up. You know, the fellows that was with us out there in Gettysburg. Well, we had a special meeting this Sunday here at the church, and they came up and we were meeting, and someone informed me that the Sodomites were outside of our church protesting. So we went out and took a look, and they were. And they had a big bucket of Starbucks coffee and all kind of other Starbucks paraphernalia with them. And they were all shouting, "Stop the hate now." They said that this church is a hate church and that I'm a hate preacher. But
only because he is. This, of course, is the Right Reverend James David Manning of Atla World Church in Harlem, who is sitting in front of a backdrop, and pretty soon he'll be talking about anal sex. It takes almost no time at all before he does. Sitting in front of a backdrop that says Middle Passage. Now, we all know what the Middle Passage was. But, well, I don't think it means the same thing to Reverend Manning. Go on. So the Sodomites was out in front of his church, and they had a bucket, mind you, of Starbucks coffee. Now, to you and I, bucket means something entirely different, but apparently Reverend Manning thinks it's one of those to-go containers that has several cups of coffee in it. That qualifies as a bucket. Yeah, no kidding. Here we go.
But you remember that last week we appeared in several of the major online news services, Huffington Post being a major one, The Inquisitor being another. What else? Gay Star News, I think, was one. And just several papers wrote articles about us because we had stated that Starbucks is ground zero for Ebola. And we pointed up how these homosexual sodomite...
I wasn't kidding about the damn hockey pucks now. We're late in the program, but I'm not kidding. Starbucks is ground zero for Ebola because of sodomites.
Because we had stated that Starbucks is ground zero for Ebola. And we pointed up how these homosexual sodomite persons, such as Dr. Craig Spencer, who lives right here in the Harlem area, who is a sodomite, that they frequent, that Starbucks is a place where these types frequent and a lot of body fluids are exchanged there. And Ebola, but the thing that I was not aware of is that there had been some information that had been released, and the Inquisitor News Online News Service carried this as a major story the week before.
Understand that the Inquisitor is of the same ilk as the Daily Courant. That is not nearly as funny as the Onion, but putting stuff out there. This is what I'm talking about is going to happen when they sit down to confirm Loretta Lynch as Attorney General of the United States. One of those geniuses, and I'd say the early money is on is on Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III, is going to think that's that lawyer for the Clintons that had Vince Foster killed when they shot him like a watermelon. Hillary did. Yeah. This is that.
What Starbucks was doing is that they were taking specimens of male semen and they were putting it in the blends of their lattes. Oh, this is the absolute truth. It's right there. You can see it right there in Inquisitor Online Services. It was a big article about an investigation into Starbucks using male semen and putting it.
Point of order. Is there any other kind of semen? Maybe, I don't know, maybe there's Halcon semen.
Into the blends of coffees that they sell. I mean, can you imagine it? And I believe that they were doing that. You know,
he believes all kinds of stuff.
Coca-Cola got started at, 100 years ago by using cocaine. They were actually using cocaine.
Cocaine. It's running all around my brain 100 years ago. And Dr. Pepper, it really had pepper in it.
And they stayed off the federal government and the use of cocaine because of the time they were used. There was no FDA, there was no Federal Drug Administration, there was no...
there was no job-killing regulations.
Really,
There were a lot... Did you know? And I only learned this recently. It wasn't just people like Oliver Wendell Holmes that were coked out of their minds or Sigmund Freud. A lot of doctors in the United States were coked up because they thought it was a wonder drug that worked wonders. Boogie on some... Just get a little coke going, stay up all night. Absolutely.
Drugs that were controlled substance drugs, and so they used it for a large number of years. People drinking Coca-Cola and getting high on the farm.
Why is he laughing? Isn't that just a creepy laugh? I think I'd rather hear John Hagee say, starve!
I mean, you could drink a Coca-Cola at night and wouldn't need any Johnny Walker. It didn't.
What do you know about Johnny Walker, Reverend? Really? Scotch and Coke, buddy? Sheesh.
Didn't need any gin. You drink gin because it ain't no sin, no vodka either. All you need was Coca-Cola. And people are drinking Coca-Cola you won't believe. But the deal is this. The deal is that Starbucks...
I don't know. Which sounds closer to actually happening in reality? Jimmy James Macho Donkey Wrestler... or this guy.
Has been, what's the word I'm looking for? Legally accused of, this is the word, legally.
No, they haven't been. Maybe we can get Rush Limbaugh's lawyer on the line and get her to write a letter to World Atla World Missionary Church James David Manning Pastor Brother Minister. No, they've not been legally charged, you dipshit, for Jesus. Inquisitor's a satire site. Oh, I can't wait to hear the retraction. It'll be just like the Breitbart retraction. Blah, 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 except it's not true.
Accused of using male semen in their...
There's that male semen again. Somebody... It's kind of like that male calico cat, Can somebody find me a jug of female semen? Because I think they're going to be rich. Yeah, I mean... And maybe the sodomites can put that in the caribou coffee or something.
Lattes. So when you...
One of these days we're going to have to move the video because there's just some stuff you don't want to miss. As soon as he says lattes, he squints at the camera with that... Oh, never mind.
drink Starbucks coffee. It's right there. See it right there. I'm not making this up. Inquisitor is a reputable online service, and they wrote three pages on this event. And the FDA is investigating. A lot of other people are investigating as well. So my question is, where are they getting all this semen from?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you ever go to
ask Lindsey Graham?
He tells you that. Well, I don't want to go there, but you understand what they tell you. And you bring back the cup. Well.
No, I don't understand. You're going to have to explain, Pastor, Brother Minister James David Manning of the Atla World Church. Man, Sunday mornings at the Atla World Missionary Church have got to be more fun than Saturday Night Live. I mean, you know what they do. I mean, they give you the cup and they tell you bring it back. Oh, I was waiting for this one. This from Matt. My new favorite drink. I can't wait to order my Grande Sodomite Latte with extra semen tomorrow. Male semen, damn it. You know, make sure you ask for it with male semen. Tim. Not a different Tim. Not Tim from L.A. Starbola! Jeez, either Pastor Manning needs a new denture adhesive, or I can hear his mouth watering as he rants and raves about bodily fluids, liquor, and Coca-Cola. Drink gin and not sin. I wonder if that's part of the litany. God almighty, let's go to the phones. Larry's with us on the Skype line. Hey, Larry.
Hi, Bob.
How you doing?
Well, oh my God.
I'm sorry.
You know, I don't know whether you got this from Angry or Angry got this from you, but Angry on his, you know, Angry does a show.
Yeah, oh yeah. It's
indigenous, you know, the...
Angry does a wonderful show.
I'm sorry, Angry. It's called the Angry... It's... You know, it's called the Intelligent Aboriginal News Service, and he does it once a week or whatever. And he had this snippet, the same snippet you just played. He didn't say. I don't know. I don't think he said anything afterward. But he played this. That, and I just about fell out of my bed. So, in the words of a now right-wing Christian ex-shock rocker, Alice Cooper, welcome to my nightmare. That's what it feels like. In any case, I was looking at a couple things. Sergi and Jack and I think Bob for a little while in the early morning hours of our Friday chat, Sergi brought up the cities with the most that have the most economic segregation. And San Antonio and Memphis and a couple others, including the San Francisco Bay Area and Philadelphia, are some of the most economically segregated areas in the country. That's a big concern of mine. And the other thing that I wanted to bring up is that I looked at the election results in the House of Representatives, and I noticed that in the urban areas and in the cities, they vote blue, but everywhere else it's like Redneckistan. I'm sorry if I made it disparaging. I don't want to disparage hillbillies.
That's okay.
But you know, or people. Or
we know your no. We know your heart is pure. It's okay.
You know, or rural folks, but. The thing is, what do we do? What can we do to reach the folks that aren't living in the urban big cities, and get them to realize that they would be better served by not voting Republican?
That's a hell of a thing to ask with 11 minutes left in the program, Larry.
Okay, we'll talk about it at some point.
Well, yeah, we will, and I think it would be an excellent conversation during the course of the program. Because it demands a lot of serious thought. One, though, is that Now, if we're talking about Appalachian folks or country folks, we tend to be distrustive of strangers and outsiders. So the message has got to be delivered by people that are actually within the community, such as it is. But even then, it becomes difficult because so much of this stuff is, it's not because of the TV advertising. It's because of what happens in the pulpits on Sunday, down to the Missionary Baptist Herpetological Sanctuary and Church.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can take your political snake oil and attach it to whether or not somebody's somebody who's got a pretty miserable life on this planet in the first place is finally going to get some relief in the afterlife, and that's the ultimate social control that is manifested by religion down through the centuries, then you've pretty much got your way.
Well, the point is that you know, anyone in our group, you know who I'm talking about, you know, would say that they don't believe that there's a man in the sky with a beard, or that there's a supernatural being out there that's going to provide some kind of afterlife for us. And as far as I know, I have one life, and I have to live my one life the best that I've got.
Do not try to explain that to a Baptist.
But I'm telling.
Well, I mean, okay, no, wait. Let's be clear. You're whether religious or not, you're Jewish, so you're going to hell anyway, according to most Baptists. But no, I mean, you can't tell them you got one life to live. No, what happens here? This is all just dress rehearsal for when we're gonna sit at the right hand of God and sing Hosanna for all eternity, which, if you read any Mark Twain, you find out it probably gets pretty boring pretty quick.
Yeah, well, I just have to tell you that you know, this guy, James, whatever his last name is.
David Manning, yes.
David Manning, I mean, Angry played him. And then, Angry played an anarchist who was on community radio in Australia. And I don't understand what's going on in Australia, but I did listen to the program. That's to let you know, Angry, that in fact I did. I am listening to your program, and I do get the podcast. But you know, I just, it's time for us to stop making fun of people that don't see the world the way that we do, and you know, thinking that somehow that we know better than other people, and start trying to communicate and start talking to people all over the
place. No, that's fine, Larry, but it's never going to happen on this program. Okay, because this we would have to go out and strap right wingers to chairs and make put hockey pucks and duct tapes in their mouths so they couldn't scream la 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 while listening. One of my favorite movie lines, all we got in common is our misery, and the least we can do is share it.
Yeah.
And so we're gonna have our fun here. And we'll talk about how to actually get something done elsewhere. But this is, you know, this is our space. This is a safe space for us to just slap ourselves on the forehead, just facepalm and go, I can't F. Because that's what that does when you hear Reverend Brother Pastor Minister James David Manning talking about jizz in the Starbucks.
The cat's originally from North Carolina. I don't know how he got up to Harlan, but he's originally from North Carolina. I don't know if that means very much of anything at all, but I know the cat, you know, brought his old.
Look, he's got some shtick, and it's working for him.
Yeah.
This dude is not eating beans.
What about the guy that started Moral Mondays? And what about, anyway. You know where?
Yeah, I'll bet the folks who started the guy who started Moral Monday in North Carolina. I'll bet he's poor as Job's turkey and brokered the Ten Commandments.
Oh boy. Well, you know, something's got to happen. It's got to come from us. That's what Bernie would say. Bernie Sanders. He would, you know, like when I saw him in Berkeley, where.
Yeah, and you know, well, okay, let's. I can solve part of this real fast, Larry. I can tell you one thing that is never going to reach him. facts and figures and numbers and politely informing them that they're voting against their own economic interests. That's the one we got to abandon real quick. Well, they're voting against their own interests. No, they're not. They are not voting against their own interests, Larry. They are voting with their own interests because they are more interested in fetus babies and fetal personhood and whether or not America's got a Kenyan Muslim socialist fascist Islamic dictator than they are in whether or not they can feed their goddamn families.
What?
They're more fascinated with whether or not Barack Obama's going to come and get their guns than they are with whether or not their children are going to be able to go to school. Okay. They are not voting against their interests, Larry, and I'm not yelling at you, you know that. They are voting concurrent with their interests. Now, if you're going to assault that hill, you better be prepared to go and figure out a way to tell them that their interests are wrong.
Well, I can't presume to know. Well, I'm being presumptuous. I can't tell anybody because, you know, I don't even know myself half the time what's right, you know.
I've thought about it some, Larry, and I wonder. I honest to God wonder, just because of the realist that I am and some of the bitterness, I guess, that lives deep down inside me and occasionally bubbles to the surface. I wonder if I'd go to Berkeley, and if I was to go to Berkeley, would I just walk up and down the streets and think that I was in the liberal wonderland that I'd always dreamed of, or would I look at some of this stuff and go, you people are nuts?
I don't think so. You know, they didn't call it berserkly, for nothing. Anyway, and they don't call it berserkly that much anymore because it isn't that berserk, but I've lived here for 30-some-odd years. By the way, Diane, who does the business ethics class in Kansas State, do you know what that name of the class is called? I'd like to look it up.
I do not. Maybe she'll write to me off air and tell me if it's available online or anything, and I'll let you know if she does. But okay, for now, unfortunately, Larry, we got to get out of here.
Okay, I appreciate you taking my call.
Oh, I thank you for making it.
Okay, Bob. Say hello to Agnes and everybody for me, huh?
I sure will. Take care, Larry.
Thank you very much.
Our buddy Larry calling from the Bay Area, specifically from Berkeley. It is time to get out of here. And like, you know, it became a self-fulfilling prophecy. I said earlier that there would be lean nights, and, well, hey, this is one of them. It's very odd that we can go through a program and not finish off the $40 remaining in a matching $150 challenge, but by God, it happened this evening. Oh, well, maybe tomorrow. Michael in Madison with a question, precious bodily fluids indeed. Bob, are we absolutely sure this preacher guy is for real? Didn't catch his name. Not a parody cross-promotion with the fake news site? No, he's real. We've had lots of clips of this character. He is real, real, real. Look up Atla Missionary Church, Harlem, New York. You'll find him, Pastor James David Manning. And it is time to get out of here. I apologize. If you wanted to get on the program and you weren't able to, I apologize. Try tomorrow, by all means. I certainly hope you will. In the meantime, our thanks go out to everyone who makes all of this go. You, first and foremost, with your conversation, your ideas, your thoughts, your emails, your chat room participation, your Facebook and your tweeting, and, yes, your calls, and, yes, your financial support. Thank you. Thanks go out to our all-volunteer staff, Lottie and Sparky and Texas Betsy, moderators in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan and Carol Baker. Thank you to John Fox in Australia, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, and thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women at Cold River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ACHEACT, ACHEACT.org, and always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.